Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Once upon a time, a beautiful maiden left her home to seek her fortune in a foreign land.
Well, where is she?
Where is the teacher?
Oh! Oh, Mr. President, please don't judge me by this. It's just that it's so dark in this castle. Great for atmosphere, but it's hell for putting on liquid lino.
Make her be quiet!
I heard.
This teacher is a loose cannon.
Could I possibly get a blanket without a head?
My children are growing up in a different world than me. You must help them face a new century.
If you've earned 18,000 frequent flyer miles, but it takes 20,000 miles to go from Miami to Scottsdale.
I thought you taught science.
Teach it? I didn't even pass it.
You look lovely, Marsha.
Yeah, it's controlled top pantyhose. Holds you in like a stuffed sausage.
You teach beauty school.
You know what? Talk to the hand.
Here, I talk last.
Guess who could get a word in edgewise?
You do it again!
This woman would destroy the country.
A little bit of radish, and look what you got. Lucille Ball. Ooh.
Stop!
This is the only job you can get yourself.
Do I not intimidate you at all?
Is one of your sideburns shorter than the other? You don't have to be a tyrant to have people follow you. Would you just trust me? You know, Sonny Bono shaved off his mustache, and now he's a congressman.
What does he do?
He's saying hello.
Hello.
Paramount Pictures proudly presents...
You better be careful. A girl could get used to this.
It's like she has put a spell on you.
Fran Drescher.
You remember what I told you?
Boys would like me for what I am.
A princess with a great big dowry.
Timothy Dalton.
The paw to the hand.
Isn't that cute? I love that.
The Beautician and the Beast.
I always wanted to do that.
Hello and welcome to Smash Pod Royale, a podcast celebrating all the Bond films by those who enjoy, hate, or, you know, just aren't asked about them, hosted by me, John Rame. This week we'll be heading to Slovetsia, I've probably said that wrong, Slovetsia, whatever, to learn about hair, makeup, shoes, and how to be a better man. Yes, it's Beautician and the Beast, and joining me to talk to the hand is actor, comedian, scarer of my son, and co-host of Bitchin' Podcast, Tilly Steele.
Oh, hello. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
You were in a Doctor Who episode that scared my son.
Oh, yeah. I should have guessed that.
He was really with me.
It wasn't me personally, though. I was the goodie.
You were there when it happened, though, the bit that scared him.
Which bit?
The bit where the zombie came out of the grave.
Oh, yeah. It's creepy, isn't it?
Yeah. My son was really... I was trying to get him into Doctor Who, and this was the first series he was with, that the first Jodie one. And then from then on, he said, I'm not watching it again. So,
how old is he?
Well, he's 9 now.
Oh, all right. So
he was probably about 7 at the time.
Was it too spooky for him?
Too spooky.
Oh, is he sensitive?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a sensitive kid growing up. I didn't like anything scary or... Well, I still don't, to be honest.
And there you are.
Unless it's got jokes in it.
Yeah, there you are, scaring children.
I know. It's come full circle.
Mm. Anyone would think you're a beautician. Or maybe a beast.
I'm definitely a beast.
Okay, good, good. So, off air, you said you hadn't seen this before.
No, it's not even something that I'd heard of before. I'd heard of Fran Drescher.
Yeah.
As a kind of cultural comedy figure, but I had never seen anything with her in.
No, I remember her being in The Nanny. That was the big sitcom she was in.
Yeah, I'm quite curious to watch that, actually, because it was clearly a massive success to have propelled her into having this big film.
Yeah.
But I really hope The Nanny is better than what you made me watch.
I think it's probably about par, to be honest, because I remember it being quite annoying because she's got that distinctive laugh, you see.
Right, but I guess it's like, at least for the TV show, sitcom is only 30 minutes, so I guess you're more forgiving.
Yeah, you get some
rest. Whereas I gave 2 hours of my life to this film. Not that I'm doing anything meaningful with my life whatsoever, but...
Yeah, I mean, if this was lockdown, you'd have probably told me to fuck off, Adam. I mean, it wasn't lockdown.
Yeah.
You probably said, fuck you, I'm not watching that.
No, I don't have a lot going on.
Fair enough.
But I didn't have a lot going on before lockdown, so
no,
I'm grateful for the excuse, really.
Oh, well, I'm grateful you came on. So there we are.
My pleasure.
So this is from the director of Dunstan Checks In.
Do I need to know what that is to continue?
You haven't heard of Dunstan Checks In, the film
No.
where an orangutan causes havoc in a hotel.
When was this made?
Mid-90s.
Oh, I'm so young. Mm. This is the thing. I'm just so young.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
I know nothing.
You haven't even seen Dunstan Checks In.
I'll add it to the list.
I mean, if anything,
of films I won't watch.
If you were doing a timeline of culture, I think it's but Dunstan Checks In is a real sort of point.
Milestone.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to Google it now. Dunstan
Checks In.
1996.
There you
wow.
go. What were you? 7.
I was 4. Oh, it's got Rupert Everett in it. I'll definitely watch it. I love Rupert Everett.
Oh, there you go. You'll love that. George from Seinfeld.
Have you ever Rupert read his books?
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah, Red Carpets and Banana Skins. Fucking great. Can I swear on this?
Of course you can.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
It's Fanny.
I'm only allowed to say Fanny.
No, don't say that. For God's sake.
Okay.
No, that would be me losing control. Now, this film begins with a cartoon.
It does. At this point, I was like, this might be good.
Hmm. Yeah, you were wrong, though.
Yeah, I'm frequently wrong.
Yeah, it was a Sleeping Beauty type thing, where a Prince Charming comes in and kisses her awake. But because this is like the late 90s or mid to late 90s, obviously the woman has to have... I don't want to get
girl
married.
Girl power feminism yeah. vibes, yeah.
I'm not getting married. I want to do what I want to do. I think that's
yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, that was the particular feminism of the time was very girl power, yeah.
And the Prince Charming was taken aback by this.
Yeah, he really was. The cartoon fella.
Yeah. Very handsome cartoon fella, though.
Well, everyone needs a fantasy, don't they?
Oh, yeah. But it turns out, Tilly, that it's a dream.
You're joking.
I'm not joking. I'm glad someone around here is. Yeah, it's a dream. She wakes up in a TV studio, and her job, it would seem, is that she does makeup for people who do TV.
Hmm.
And I don't know if the joke here, because she reaches this model, who's just sitting there smoking a fag, unconvincingly, I might add,
yeah,
to do her makeup. Now, is the joke that she's really good at makeup or really bad at makeup?
Yeah, see, I don't know, because she just makes her look like she just makes her look like her.
She looks like Bette Lynch mixed with her.
Mm, yeah. It's not a great look.
It's horrible. And then the woman has to go on TV and do the lottery looking like that.
Mm.
And then we have the scene you have to have if you're a woman-led film at this point. You have to have her talking to her mum and her mum saying, you should get a boyfriend.
Yeah, it's obligatory, right?
Yeah. And that you can't go
My
through...
My mum's never told me to get a boyfriend.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
I think she just knows that it would be a problem for the man. And she has empathy for whoever that would be.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I don't know. I'm an only child.
Wow. Well, that's good.
Are you psychoanalyzing me?
Well, no, I was just thinking that if you were a sibling of a lot of siblings, then maybe she just... It doesn't like you as much as the other ones.
But... yeah, no, yeah. That's the... If I did have siblings, then definitely I would be her least favourite child. But I often think that, actually. Like, thank fuck there isn't a brother to compare me to, because that would be not ideal.
Well, especially during lockdown.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, that'd be horrible.
Sure.
But she her dad is a nice dad. He's like, hey, don't listen to him. I'm a dreamer.
Yeah, he's just like chilled, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm a dreamer. I keep saying it in a sort of weird way. But she makes ends meet by doing a night school teaching makeup to ladies and stereotypical gay men.
Yeah.
And they're doing a thing where they're putting makeup on a dummy's head.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting lipstick and beauty spots. And she tells that you have to have a beauty spot on the right side so your cigarette can hang out the left side of your mouth.
Not something I've ever had to worry about, really.
Well, I was going to ask, because there's a lot of points in this. You said to me earlier that you know you watched this last week. We were supposed to do this last week and we didn't, and I said I've made notes because I wanted to ask you some questions, because you are a lady and there's a lot of
news to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of lady specific moments in this that I want to see if they ring true.
Okay,
for the world of lady.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm just a middle-aged man. I don't know anything about this. And I wouldn't want to presume.
I'm definitely not the spokesperson for World of Lady, but I will do my level best.
Well, my first question would be, if you were doing a night school for makeup...
Yeah.
Okay. Would you worry a bit if when you got into the room to do your night school for makeup, in the back of the room there were cages full of snakes, ferrets, rats and mice?
I guess so, but I suppose if it's like a community college or something, it's probably the same room they use for like science shit.
Or for like vivisection.
Yeah.
It's a bit worrying.
It is a bit weird. And then, I mean, I won't skip ahead because you're... But what? When the... Spoilers, when the fire happens, the completely fucking random fire.
Yeah.
That just happens literally just to move the plot along.
Yeah.
And then she saves all the rats, which I assume is meant to make her look empathetic as a character.
Yeah.
It just makes her look more stupid, because why are there all these rats there?
Yeah.
Are they testing on the rats? What are they doing with them?
Cause I don't know.
Like they're doing good things with them.
One of them's a snake.
Yeah. She puts the snake in her handbag, right?
Yeah. And there's a joke.
I was paying attention.
So you were. And then she tells the snake, don't worry, it's not real snake print, it's vinyl. Mm. But I want to know, was the snake there? Do they do makeup on all these animals as well?
No, I didn't get that from it.
I wanted to see a snake with lipstick.
I wouldn't mind that.
That'd be lovely. But yeah, she emerges.
I thought it was an animal testing thing. But...
I think you're right. I think they've got the room after them. They come in and you know, put perfume in dog's eyes and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the gentleman from the press takes a picture of her, and the headline says "Bugs and Bunny Barbecue." That doesn't even work.
It doesn't even make any sense.
No, Bugs Bunny, yeah, sure, but Bugs and Bunny Barbecue. There weren't any insects in there.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
No,
I mean, so much of this film doesn't make sense.
Well, no, here's another bit.
Think about it for more than 1 second.
Well, the entire film, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's another bit here that doesn't make sense, because she's then followed by a car. With an actor, Ian McNeice, in there, who she later calls Ira.
Great actor.
He's in lots and lots of
things. He really is trying his best in this. Mm. I would say he's probably the best actor in the film, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really giving it something, even though it's completely incomprehensible.
Yeah, well, he thinks, I don't know how, but he sees that the headline says that she's a teacher, and he assumes that she's a science teacher.
Based on what does she base it?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know why I'm angry about a film that was made so long ago, and it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
No.
But it really, if you think about any of the plot, it just doesn't hold up.
No. No, the only bit that's funny here is that when he stops her in the street, she goes to Mason, but she picks up her moose.
Yeah.
And sprays moose all over him.
Quite a good gag, actually.
It was, and you know what? I'd forgotten about moose.
Yeah, but it was a thing in the 90s.
Mm.
You really felt like you had to have moose, otherwise you weren't doing hair care, really.
Yeah, but he gets absolutely covered in it, like he's been out with some Japanese businessman. And he says to her that he is working on behalf of the president of Slovetsia. And he wants a teacher to come, basically with Sound of Music, is what we're doing.
Yeah, Sound of Music, King of I, my vibes, yeah.
She originally wanted to call this film The King and Oi.
Ah, like her accent.
Yeah, The King and Oi. Yeah.
It's not funny, is it?
No, it's not.
No.
But it would have worked, because everything else isn't very good either.
Mm.
But this is where we get the first instance of her saying to someone else, talk to the hand.
Talk to the hand, yeah.
This was huge in the 90s.
It was a big thing, wasn't it?
Mm.
Well, it wasn't a thing that she started, was
oh,
it?
Oh, no, I don't think
no.
so.
No. Well, maybe it was. Well, worse, because it's not even like it's her catchphrase, if that's the case.
Yeah, no, it's pretty embarrassing, particularly later on. But then Ian McNeice says to her, look, we'll give you $40,000.
Yeah, so she just immediately agrees, despite like having no idea who this man is or any indication that she's not about to be trafficked.
That's fine. It's true. This could have been like the plot of Taken 4.
Mm.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
This is perspective. I'm giving you the Lady World perspective there. True crime. That's the threat detection. That's the Lady World perspective.
Yeah, that's a really good perspective to have, because I don't think about that. I'm a middle-aged man. No one's going to kidnap me with the best will in the world.
Fingers crossed.
I'm more likely to get makeup tested on me than kidnapped. So they arrive, and her mum doesn't want her to go, but she goes anyway. And they arrive in Slovetsa. And it's quaint, the sheep on the runway. It's a very empty little town. There's people crossing out the picture of the president and throwing eggs at their car.
Yeah,
and it's at this point he thinks to ask her what she teaches.
I mean, it's got to happen for the film to happen, but they could have come up with something. I was thinking about this. They could have just said it in New York and had it like a fish out of water thing where the beast comes to New York and he doesn't fit in, and she helps him fit in and like win over someone. But instead, by making her the fish out of water, it's just in this place which doesn't really exist. It's just a bit nothing, really.
Well, we know it doesn't exist, because when they show the map of Eastern Europe, the camera goes right in on this tiny dot, and then to sell the gag, a magnifying glass pops up. And we see that there's a tiny little place in the middle of Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
But yeah, she tells him that she does beauty science, and then she starts putting gel in his hair. And he basically has a heart attack.
Because he is going to get in trouble with his boss.
Yeah, he's going to get killed. He tells her that Boris Pachenko is the president. And he says, look, you know, we'll just have to style it out, basically. And that isn't a hair joke. And they go to the president's house, and we're introduced to everyone around. And then he says, right, well, you've got an hour till you meet the president. So she says, right, we'll get out and I'll get ready. And then an hour later, she still isn't ready. And when the president storms in, who's played by Timothy Dalton,
she's not very good at getting ready if she can't get ready in an hour. It's literally her job.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I mean, she's still putting on makeup with her hair in curlers. I'm not even dressed an hour later.
Procrastination. Maybe she feels anxious, or she feels worried about this new chapter in her life, but we don't get to see any of that. It's just glib remarks and zero vulnerability.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm very much on the president's side in terms of that. He gets sick very quickly. Pretty fucking quickly, actually, of her quick one-liners.
Yeah, what does he say? He's like, make her be quiet or something.
Yeah, make her be quiet. Stop doing that thing.
Yeah.
But he kicks down the door and says, I want you to be prompt, efficient, and dressed in future. And then leads her to it. But there's a little glint in his eye like, oh, you're different. Because as we later find out, their last teacher was ugly and had breath that smelled like something died and farted in her mouth.
Oh, God, it's so bad.
Yes, it
it's
is.
It's so bad. Yeah. It's really bad when the only chemistry and, like, reason you can think of for two people to be together, the last woman of marriage age that he saw was ugly, and that's why he fancies you. It's not really... It's not chemistry, is it?
Not really, no. No, no. It's basically just saying you're a woman and you're the only woman here.
You're nearby.
Yeah, that's not my child. You know. I'm glad it wasn't Fred West she went and did the teaching with, that's all.
Yeah.
But the next morning, she's woken up by the children, and one of them is young and very cute. The mm-hmm. next one up is a teenage girl who's quite sort of dowdy,
yeah.
I should say. And then the next one up is like a kind of, you know, you're our 16 going on 17 clone from Sound of Music.
Yeah.
And then you've got a young man who's a bit like a Nazi.
Yeah, and a bit pervy as well.
A bit pervy.
Well, very pervy, actually.
Very pervy. And they say, and basically they introduce themselves to her, and she instantly wins them over with how lovely she is. She even kisses the little boy's hands and tells him to stop biting his nails.
Yeah. I mean, these kids aren't really in the film, though, aren't they?
No. Well, one of them
is a lot. They get introduced, and then it's just like, oh, actually, can't be arsed giving any of these personalities. Mm. So, there you go.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no point. They haven't got much.
No.
But they have breakfast the next morning, and it's hilarious because we do that thing of we're in another country, we're not sure of their cultures. So for breakfast, they have clotted cream and blood sausage.
Sounds delicious.
I mean, for fuck's sake.
I'd be up for that.
Oh, and then the president storms in and is just generally cross and sits at the end of the table. And of course, because we are, and she starts talking about how when she was young, her dad used to eat so much he'd make his belly button talk. And we've got all this stuff going on. It's just really.
She's just being charming and cutesy.
Yeah, and he's mildly warming to it because he wanted to leave immediately and he thought, you know what, I might stick around.
Yeah, but like, what is his character? Is he a murdering maniac?
Well, this is it. Yeah. The reason the Christopher Plummer part works in Sound of Music really is because he hates the Nazis.
Yeah.
But in this one, this guy is a Nazi. And then by the end, we're supposed to love him.
Yeah, and it's not meaningful at all. It's kind of just like they just went halfway through. Oh, we were lying about him.
Yeah.
Actually, he's really nice, and he just suddenly decides to be really nice to everyone for no reason.
Because you get this weird bit next when she's teaching them where they get the history book, and just after the eldest kid's perving at her ass.
Mm.
They get the history book, and in the history book, it's basically saying that the president is the hero and won Operation Desert Storm on his own and stuff. And you're just like, well, he just sounds like a fucking maniac.
Yeah. It doesn't endear you to him.
No.
And that's a really... I mean, for a rom-com, it kind of lives and dies on whether you really like the two people who are falling in love.
Yeah.
Like, they have to be... Even if it's a comedy and everyone's silly and a bit daft, you do have to fundamentally fall in love with both of the characters who are falling in love with each other, otherwise it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, you know, a murdering despot wouldn't be my number one choice
really.
For... No.
If you made this and he was Saddam Hussein...
That is essentially what they're doing.
Yeah, he's got the moustache.
And everyone hates him.
Yeah, and he's like committing genocide all over the place. And by the end, you're supposed to be really happy that he's... I don't know how he's got to America, but he's travelled to America. And yeah, I mean, we'll get there. But the older girl tells him...
Will we?
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
I always wanted to do that.
It's an S-Pod thing. The podcast revisiting S Club 7's insane TV show.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone's binge-watched this. Anyone who's not on drugs.
Thank you for bringing this into my life. It was honestly truly appalling.
Guests helped me analyse the show in more detail than anyone ever asked for.
It feels weird to me to say the phrase sex object in a show that was aimed at six-year-olds.
Do you think there's one of the problems with this show is that 7 is too much?
It's an S-Pod thing from Great Big Owl.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
I always wanted to do that.
But basically, the school lessons are going nowhere. She decides to teach them about frequent flyer miles.
Yeah, because that's what she knows the most about, I think.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Thrilling scene.
Oh, it's just thrilling. But then the older girl tells her she wants to have sex a lot.
Yeah.
The joke being that she thinks the word sex means holding hands and having ice cream.
Yeah, that was quite nice, actually. I didn't mind that joke.
Did you not?
No, I didn't mind that. Because she's, like, learned English, and that's quite cute.
I suppose so. She's one of those.
In the context of how awful all the other jokes are.
Yeah, no, right. I mean, there's so many jokes flying around and not landing in this film. I suppose it's. You get one.
And at least it tells you something about who she is, who her character is.
Mm.
There's so many lines in this film that are just there for no reason. They don't tell you anything about.
Well, she tells her to go and speak to her dad, and that's when we get him shouting, Joy Miller, because her name's Joy Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has to go and speak to him, and he's fencing. And we find out that the boy that his daughter's in love with is like the leader of the rebellion. And you can never be with her.
They just haven't earned any of this, have they?
No, absolutely not. No, and she's due to have a prearranged marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been the way it's been.
Yeah.
And that's when she starts wisecracking and he tells her to stop doing that. And then she holds his hand because he's got a cut. And the Prime Minister comes in and sees that she's holding his hand and thinks, oh, that's a bit off. And this is when she goes back to her room and the eldest son's in her bed.
Yeah, and then he's just, it's not good.
No, it's not. He's sort of half, shirt's half open. And he's like, you know you want it. And then then she kind of judo flips him over onto the floor. And then he says, look, I've always wanted to be a painter or an artist, but my dad would be angry at me.
I've always wanted to be a painter or an artist or attack women in their bedrooms, and I can't decide.
Yeah.
This hasn't gone well, so I guess I'll be a painter.
Yeah. Or all three.
I can see that in his future.
I can draw you like one of my French women and then chop you up and put you in the fridge.
That is his vibe, yeah.
It definitely is his vibe. So Joy decides she's going to go on a tour of the town for the, God knows why. So she goes down to the town.
For a bit of colour.
For a bit of colour.
For a local energy in the film.
Yeah, she goes,
and all you can think is, God, no. Because it's about to get worse.
It's going to get worse because she goes down to the town and the eldest daughter is snuck out with her too.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, do I know a place we can go? And it's like an underground club. But she's wearing a very 90s shiny shirt.
Yeah, I loved that shirt actually when I saw it. I was like, I do like that shirt.
Yeah. It does
look like... Again, that's another lady brain instinct there. I liked that shirt.
Good, I hope someone's noting these down. but it turns out, not only is this an underground club, but it's where the rebellion people meet.
Mm-hmm.
And where her boyfriend's giving a speech
for
about...
For convenience.
For convenience, obviously, yeah. He's giving a speech about overthrowing the president. And the secret police come in and take him away. And as Joy grabs her and they leave, it turns out the Prime Minister had followed them there. And they have to go back, and the president tells Joy that she's full of insolence and audacity.
Yeah, again, I was really looking forward to this film.
Were you?
I thought, what a great excuse to watch a trashy rom-com. And I really feel for them because there is a real absence of any sexual chemistry between them. And yeah. they're both very attractive people.
Mm.
And it just does not work at all.
Especially him. He's really attractive.
Yeah, they're just like awkward co-workers.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, unfortunately, you're right.
Yeah, it's bad. That's my analysis. It's bad.
But yeah, this is when Joy says to him, I was wrong, you were right. And he's like, aha! You were wrong and I was right. This is where he starts warming towards you, see? Because then the next day he thinks, I'll go and watch her teach her class. And that's where he
talks... And God bless him with his accent.
It's all over the place, isn't it?
And do you know what's really bleak?
Mm.
His wife was Russian.
In real life?
Yeah. You think he'd be able to do some kind of bastardised accent, but he just keeps slipping out of it.
Yeah, I mean,
and I have all the sympathy in the world for him because it is really hard.
I mean, when he does it right, he does it right. But yeah, every now and then you're like, you're just doing your normal voice there.
Yeah, there's so many times where he just says things in RP and you're like, oh, God bless you.
In RP?
Received pronunciation, call it. In the actors game.
I like this. I'm going to make a note of that. Receive pronunciation.
Do you?
Yeah, oh, I love actor stuff. Yeah. So when someone breaks into their normal accent.
That's what we're taught at drama school.
Mm.
Is RP, receive pronunciation. We have classes on how to get rid of our own accents and be able to speak.
Just humour me.
Bond would.
Exactly. They've all had to do that. How would you get rid of your RP then?
I would get rid of my own regionality and turn it into receive pronunciation.
Oh, sorry. So how do you iron out your accent? What's the tips?
Well, I don't really, to be honest. I've never had to do RP for an acting job. I've only ever played in my own accent or I've done other regional accents, but I've never had to play anyone posh, I think, because I'm not posh and people don't really see me as that because I'm not it. So people don't necessarily imagine me in that way. So, but yeah, I mean, the way you learn at a drama school is phonetically. So you learn the phonetic alphabet and then you learn how to go through your scripts and mark them out and look over the specific vowels and stuff that you have trouble with. But to be honest, I don't do any of that shit now. I just kind of hope for the best. Unless it was something that I was really struggling with, and then you would have an accent coach that would like help you go with it. Apparently they did have an accent coach.
I was just going to say, yeah.
So, but I do get it because I know I've done jobs where I've really missed the mark on the accent. And, you know...
Have you ever had to do a European accent?
No, I haven't. Mm. No. Not. I have for like auditions and stuff, but I've never had to play it in that accent. Well, and it is hard because it's so far away removed from your own experience, and if it's something that you're not hearing in your day-to-day life all the time, then I think it is difficult to replicate it.
Particularly in this case, because it's a made-up country, so it must be really hard to nail an accent that doesn't exist.
Yeah, so much effort went into making this film, that's what's really sad about it.
They invented a language.
Yeah.
For people to speak.
Didn't he, like, invent, like, how it would sound and everything?
Yeah, they put together, like, Hungarian and German and something else, And for this film.
They might as well not bother. Film.
Might as well just had people going, like, Sperdalia.
I mean, that is how offensive the film is anyway, to be honest.
True. I did just swear in Polish, by the way. If
anyone's did wondering. You? Do you I speak did. Polish?
No, I just know one Polish swear word.
Oh, can you teach me it? What is it?
Spiridalia.
Spiridalia? Yeah. What does that mean?
Fuck off.
Ha.
Yeah, I think
I'm such a child.
I know. I always try and work out the worst parts of every language.
And just keep those with you.
Yeah, it's like the only German expression I know is Ich habe einen großen Hosenschlager.
That means I have a large...
Trouser snake, yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So I'd never use it, obviously. It's just something to keep upstairs in case I ever get kidnapped.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to get kidnapped
now. If you're ever
in
a James Bond film.
Exactly. If they say to us, you know, what's your name and rank? I'll say, Ich habe einen großen Hosenschlager, over and over again. Until they find me in a river.
Yeah. That can be your... your spy name.
Yeah. Grossen Hosenschlanger. I could be doing some sort of film. But anyway, and that's end of part one of this episode of Smirshpod. We'll be back later in the week with part two. So please stick around. But in the meantime, why not like, subscribe, review, enjoy, share, tell everybody you like. And, you know, why not even buy Thunderbook? Hey, why not? See you next time.
I'm Keza McDonald.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
And this is our new show, Extra Life.
It's basically us talking to funny people about video games.
When I was a kid, it was Grand Theft Auto.
There's Sinclair ZX Spectrum.
We talk about the games people remember from when they were kids and what they're playing now.
Guitar Hero.
The Last of Us 2.
Combat on the Atari 2600.
No, I love Pokemon.
Anyway, find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Extra Life.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.